Matthew series card here that you can still pick up on in the foyer as you come into the sanctuary, and also it's online at shalombrevard.com. We're already almost at the second page. I can't believe we're just going through it so much. But today's portion, today's passage is Matthew 10, 16 to 42. Matthew 10, 16 to 42. So if you want to go over to Matthew 10, 16, we're going to be starting there in a minute. Now, throughout the series, we know Yeshua's been speaking words of truth to us, not only just the words of God, but how to apply the words of God to our life, how to get things that were written now for us even thousands of years ago just as applicable to our lives for today. And one of the things is throughout, and this is what we're going to be talking about in the passage today, throughout the centuries and millennia, God followers in general, have faced persecution in their lives. Ancient Israel faced persecution just by simply being Israel, right? The Jewish people. And then over the last 2,000 years, the body of Messiah, both Jew and Gentile, followers of Yeshua, have faced persecution. We know this, we've seen this, we've read about this. And, you know, the thing is, we live in a society today, especially in our country, but in most maybe Western-oriented countries, where we have a lot of tolerance for religions, even our religion. You know, there's even an encouragement over the years of our faith. You've heard of the Judeo-Christian faith and, you know, Ten Commandments being displayed in courthouses and things throughout the history of our country. And so overall, history-wise, we've had a pretty good run of it here. We've had a lot of tolerance for being able to practice our religion and to practice our faith in God, and even been encouraged about it, and thank the Lord for that. But to one extent or another, even in today's world, we as followers of Yeshua still face persecution. We do. And so Yeshua is speaking to his followers 2,000 years ago in the book of Matthew, and he's telling them, here is how to handle it when persecution comes, okay? And I believe it's a timeless message. So even though we're not facing maybe the intensity of some of the persecution that they faced back then, we still face persecution today. So we want to talk about it because it is applicable to our lives. So let's begin with Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I am sending you out, Yeshua's words here, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. So, as I said, we tend to think that because we have Yeshua in our life and we live in this country, things are okay. We're going to be tolerated for our beliefs. And because we're followers of Yeshua, there's this, I don't know, this thing that says, well, everything's going to be great if you just follow after Yeshua. You know, everything's going to be great. You're going to be happy. You're going to have this perfect, charmed life in the Lord. Everything's going to work out for you. All your problems will get solved in the Lord. But Yeshua is trying to tell us that that's not going to be the case. And if we're realistic about it, we know it's not going to be the case, right? We see this a lot. We want it to be the case. We want to be happy with everything. We want everything to work out with our interpersonal relationships. We want everything to work out in our jobs. You ever had something not work out so well in your job? I have. Even in this job here. No, I'm just kidding. It's peaceful. Everything's great. But listen, we all have this going on. No matter what job you're in, there's not peace sometimes in our interpersonal relationships. There's not peace, the opposite of peace sometimes, within our jobs. But what we know is the peace that we are searching for and that we need and that Yeshua is talking about in Scripture is not found externally in all of those things. The peace is found internally in us. Now, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. There's many scriptures about these today, and I just picked some of these here. But the peace of Yeshua is an internal shalom. It's an internal peace. People get this wrong all the time, especially nominal believers or people that are saying, well, if you've accepted Yeshua, why isn't everything working out for you? Well, it might not be working out here, but it can be working out in here. The true shalom and the peace of Yeshua will be inside of you. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So in Yeshua, in our hearts, internally, we have the peace that passes all understanding, right? But in this world, externally, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems that we encounter. And there's even going to be persecution in our lives. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 3:12. You know, there's a lot of scriptures in all throughout the Word, especially in the New Covenant, because we're talking about this as believers in Messiah today. There's many scriptures about how we will face persecution at times. 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Messiah Yeshua will be persecuted. Okay? So there it is in black and white. Okay? No glossing over it. If you don't believe me, believe the scripture. Believe the Bible about it. Those who desire a godly life in Messiah Yeshua will be persecuted. Not maybe at some times. There will be persecution that we go through. Now, this isn't written to scare us. It's written to prepare us, right? It's written to prepare us so that we don't turn around at the first sign of trouble and say, "Where were you, God? Why aren't you protecting me? Why aren't you making everything go right in my life?" That's a very shallow and unbiblical way to think about our lives as believers. Biblically speaking, we are going to go through trouble. So when the trouble does come in our life, in our relationships, in our jobs, in the things that we do, we're not going to say, "Where are you, God? Why aren't you there?" And then blame God for the fact that he already told us we're going to be going through this. Point number one, we will face persecution. Now, you and I may not be killed because of our faith. We may not be martyred, right? But there's believers in other countries that are martyred just simply because they have faith in Yeshua, right? You may not be targeted or lose your job because of your faith. But you know what? Persecution comes in many forms. Whenever we think persecution, we automatically go to, well, you're going to die for Yeshua, or you're going to lose your job or your livelihood for Yeshua. That may happen, but probably not the way things are right now, at least in our country. But there may be types of persecution that we go through. Persecution comes in different forms. Now, have you ever been taunted because of your faith? Have you ever been mocked by friends or family because of your faith? Have you ever gone to school and been mocked by all the people that are enlightened about your faith? I know, because I was. My freshman year in college, it was like, how can you believe that stuff? It's so close-minded. And as he was opening up the biology book and telling me all about evolution, you know? This is the thing. We have this faith, and people don't understand it that are outside the faith, and what people don't understand, they belittle, make fun of. This is just truth here. But we can't avoid sometimes when persecution comes, but it's important to know the word so that we don't lose faith when it comes in whatever form. Now, back to our passage today, Matthew chapter 10. Let's continue on with Yeshua's words, verses 19 and 20. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Wow. But many of us, I think, feel we don't know enough in order to defend our faith, right? You've ever thought that? I don't know enough to defend our faith, my faith. I can't adequately defend myself when persecution happens. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I don't have my cue cards. I don't have whatever. I don't have large portions of scripture memorized. This is kind of what we go through. And then you think, I know that somebody, right? That somebody in my life, I know they always have the right thing to say. They always know the right word. Maybe they already have the scripture verse. You know, do you ever met somebody that can quote scripture with the verses? Like all the time. Sometimes you struggle remembering, what was that verse? What did Yeshua say there? What did the Lord say there? Sometimes we know all those people that know everything to say, the people that have a quick wit, that can defend themselves in any situation they get themselves in. Well, I'm not that way, and I don't think most of us are that way. Let's turn to Proverbs 15:23. Proverbs 15:23 says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." You ever feel like when you can retort somebody, or you can say something, or you could even say a word of encouragement, how good that feels to be able to speak God's words. But it's hard sometimes because we don't know many times the right things to say, okay? We don't understand, but Yeshua is telling us here, don't worry, you don't need to know. You don't have to have it all memorized. You don't need to have a quick wit. You don't always have to know the right thing to say because it's not about you getting it. It's about me. This is, I'm talking about Yeshua saying this. We have to know. It's not us that has to worry about, oh, what do I say when somebody's, you know, talking to me about my faith? You have to just let the Lord speak for you. Point number two, allow God to speak through you. Okay. Now, we say these things, and then you may say to yourself, well, you know, that's easier said than done. Everybody says that. That's the spiritual thing to say, Rabbi. Thanks a lot. Well, it is easier said than done, but there's some things, some practical things. So today I want to give us a few practical things to remember about allowing God to speak through you. Because some people say, oh, I don't know what to do. How do I let God speak through me? What is the first step? I don't know what to do. Give me the practicals, right? Well, here's some practical things. Number one, before we can really adequately allow God to speak through us and allow God to defend himself, right, we have to understand God. We have to understand. That sounds like very basic, but we need to understand God and his ways. How do we understand God and his ways? We read about him in his word. So the first step is you have to know the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Do you know how many believers wrongly handle the word of truth today? Pick up a verse out of context, use it when it doesn't apply to them in that particular situation. We need to be studying the word so that we can rightly handle the word of truth and not wrongly handle the word of truth. Because if you wrongly handle the word of truth, guess what? You're going to have a bad testimony and the other person is probably going to be more confused. You could end up doing more damage than you're trying and when you're trying to help. But we have to rightly handle the word of truth, and that starts by knowing the word. Okay. Second practical thing, we need to understand that when we're persecuted, and this is super important, it's not the people persecuting you. It's not the people. It's the demonic spirit of the anti-Messiah, Hasatan, behind them. We really have to remember this because we get so mad at people. You could see it in their eyes. They get so mad and they're just accusing you of all sorts of things that you didn't do. Right? And they're falsely maligning us, whatever it might be. However the form of persecution can happen, we have to remember that when we get mad at people, it's not the people, okay? God can use people to speak through him, but guess what else? The enemy can use people to speak through them. And that's just the facts, okay? So remember, next time that family member says something to you, next time that friend says something insensitive about your faith, or the next time that, you know, person at school is bugging you, whatever it is, it's not them, it's the enemy and his minions behind it. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is really hard to remember when you're staring that person in the face and they're just hurting you, they're persecuting you, they're saying all kinds of things against you and against the Lord. But we have to remember Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Does anybody remember the book, This Present Darkness, by Frank Peretti? It's a classic, 30, 40 years old now. But really, it comes from this verse here. He took it from this verse. We don't fight against the flesh and blood. We fight against the spiritual forces behind all of that. Now, when we put this into perspective, what does this do for us? It actually, over time, it can allow us to pray for the people persecuting us. Because who wants to pray for somebody if they're just attacking you, right? But if we understand that it's not them attacking us, it's that spirit there of the anti-Messiah, then it allows us to have mercy on them. Then it allows us to pray for them as they're persecuting us. Number three, It is also super easy when we're hurt, when we're wronged, when we're persecuted to do what? What do? We get offended, right? Have you ever been offended before? Okay. Whoever said no, I'm offended that you said that. We've all been offended. We all take up that spirit of offense. And many of us do it really, really quickly, right? When something doesn't go our way, when we go down a path and somebody's attacking us, what do? We automatically take up that spirit of offense. That is like a triggered response, right? There's also, I talked about this Present Darkness book. There's also a book out there by John Bevere called The Bait of Satan. Has anybody ever read The Bait of Satan? It's all about that. It's all about getting offended and how we get offended and how we shouldn't, right? When we get offended, we want to do what? We want to lash out. We want to hurt back. We want to pronounce judgment on that person. How dare they say that about me? They're wrong. We want to pronounce judgment against them, but we shouldn't do that. Now, I want you to turn almost all the way to the back of the book or of the Bible to this little book called Jude. A really great name for this book. Jude, one of the brothers of Yeshua, one of the apostles, disciples, Jude, and there's only one chapter, really. So go to verse 9 of the book of Jude. Now, the book of Jude is small, but it's action-packed, and it really does have a lot of great information for us. And in verse 9, we see Jude is telling us what is happening here with this little scuffle that's going on, right? Between the archangel Michael and the devil, and Satan, HaSatan. Okay, so verse 9. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Don't you get fired up when you're on social media and somebody's on that kick where it's like, well, the flood didn't really happen. That's just a nice story. And, you know, the creation account's not real. It's just da-da-da-da-da. I mean, we get offended. We get upset. We want to just fire back. We get offended about it. But you know what? Let's take a page from the book of Jude, and instead of pronouncing judgment, just say, "The Lord rebuke." The Lord, it's not my place to do it. The Lord rebuke you. Allow the Lord to rebuke and not you and not your offense. Okay. Number 4, practical steps. Tune in. Tune in to the Spirit of God, the Ruach. Tune in to the Ruach HaKodesh. To tune in to the Ruach HaKodesh means to tune out our logic and our way of trying to solve something, isn't it? When we tune into what the Spirit of God is doing, what do? We trust God to do it and not ourselves. We surrender to God's ways and not our own ways. So there's a lot there when we are submitting to God and to His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. We have to believe that God's going to lead us through His Spirit. We have to believe that He will provide the answers, the opportunity. Some of us, it's so hard to lose control, right? It's so hard to get the grip off of our life. But to the extent that we can do that, we can allow the Spirit to move in our lives. May it be the words of the Spirit and not our words and not our ways. And lastly, turn with me to Exodus 14, 14. I have quoted from this before, and I just want to set up this verse. Lastly, we need to know that God is the problem solver and the battler. I don't know what he's the one that battles for us, right? In Exodus 14, the children of Israel just came out of 10 plagues. They came out of Egypt, and they thought, oh, this is so great. God saved us. And then what happens? The Egyptian army comes right back after them. They are no match for the Egyptian army. There's no way they're going to survive in themselves. Well, what does Moses say to the people? In Exodus 14, 14, he says this, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." And guess what happened? They allowed God to fight for them, and the seas parted. They went through. Egyptians came. Seas went back. They drowned. Okay? All those chariots, all those mighty, spears and all the weapons that they had and all those mighty soldiers. And you can read about how many there were in Exodus chapter 14. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. God wants to do things, even supernatural things in our lives. But we have to let Him. You have to get out of the way so that he can fight the battles for you. Allow the Lord to speak through you and to fight for you. Okay, back to the text today. Next point. Okay, Matthew 10, verses 26 to 28. Again, Yeshua is talking about the people that are persecuting us. Verse 26. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim it in the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This is such powerful, because what happens when we go through persecution many times, if we don't have that fight response, we have the other response. And immediately, what do we have? Fear. Fear overtakes us. The go-to that we many times have when we face any type of persecution, it can be small, it can be large, is we immediately will fear. And let me tell you, fear can come over you and I so quickly that you don't even think about it, right? Have you ever had that happen? Fear comes over us so quickly, we don't even have time to say, okay, I'm going to fear now. You know, it just happens. It just happens. Listen to what Yeshua tells us. Matthew 10, now go to verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God doesn't just say, don't fear, I got this. He says, I know you to the point where I know every hair in your head. I know how you're going to react. I know your fears. I know your weaknesses. I know what's going to, you know, get you and make you offended. I understand who you are, and I've got it for you. You don't need to fear. That's my big paraphrase of those three verses, right? You and I are known by God. He knows us. He cares about us. And he knows you more than anybody else knows you. You know, we think our family and friends know us pretty well. Good friends know us. We think we know ourselves pretty well, right? God knows you even better than you could ever know yourself. He knows us, and here's the best part. He knows us, and he still cares about us, right? He still wants to be around us. He knows us, and he cares about us, and we are of value to him. Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. What that means is you can't be full of fear and simultaneously be full of faith. But the opposite is true as well. You're full of faith, there's no room for the fear. So there are mutually exclusive properties here. You either have one or the other. And throughout the Bible, God tells us time and again, you do not have to fear. You are not alone. He tells us to trust in him. He tells us to have faith in him. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. There's so many scriptures that talk about this. Faith in God, trusting in him, relying on him to do these things for us. Isaiah 41:10 is a good one. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The righteous right hand we know, of course, is Yeshua, the right hand of God, the arm of the Lord. It talks about later on in the Isaiah chapter 40s. It talks about that arm of God, the Mashiach. Over and over, Adonai would tell Israel, fear not, I'm with you. He would tell them that as they endured slavery, as they were in terrible exile in Babylon. Remember that whole scripture in Jeremiah 29? They're sitting there in Babylon in exile, mourning, and he says to them, I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. Don't fear. I'm with you. I'm going to give you hope and a future. This is powerful stuff. At our lowest, we need to remember that God is with us. And you know, it's said, rabbinically, it talks about how when Israel was in exile, God was there with them. We think of, oh, they were thrown out of Israel because of unbelief. Thrown out of God's kingdom because God's in Israel and they're outside of the gates because they messed up, right? Have you ever felt outside of the gates because you messed up? Well, rabbinically speaking, the rabbis always talk about how God was with them in the exile. I feel sometimes like we're in exile here, don't you? God is with us in the exile. Psalm 34, verse 4. Let's turn there. So Israel endured slavery, exile, persecution, and throughout it all, God never left them. The formula for getting rid of fear when it comes upon us is getting full of God. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Not just the fears, some of the fears, all of the fears. Okay, I don't know. Sometimes people struggle with panic attacks, right, and anxiety to one degree or another. And all of us have experienced those times where just fear comes over us. We really just have to do the exercise of stopping and saying, I will not fear because God is with me. And you just have to stop yourself and you have to say that. So many scriptures on this, but the point is this, point number three, replace fear with faith. This is very practical. We actually have to stop and do this when it comes over us. Replace fear with faith. Now turn to Psalm 118 verse 6. Psalm 118 verse 6. Faith in God is something we have to practice in our lives. We don't just automatically wake up and say, okay, I'm going to have faith today. We have to practice it in our lives. We have to meditate on and pull out and memorize even scriptures like Psalm 118, 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to you if you have the Lord on your side? We sang about it today, right? Had it not been the Lord, who was on our side? Matthew chapter 10, let's go there again. And I'm going to read the last part of the, some of the last part of the passage today. It's verses 34 to 39. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. These are Yeshua's words. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So I read that whole passage just to get to the last verse. And but before I get to the last verse, I just have to mention, this isn't Yeshua saying, oh, just hate everybody in your life. They're no good to you anyway, right? You're going to have problems with them, so just get rid of them. That's not what he's saying at all. We don't understand. When we read the scriptures with our Western 21st century mindset, we think automatically what we think of because you and I have been conditioned to think this way in a Western or a Greek way of thinking. But back then, people talked to people a lot more like brash and kind of just right off the cuff than you and I do. In this country, what's the name of the game, right? Kindness. Be nice to everybody. So PC is big, right? In the last 30 years, political correctness has become the religion of this culture, right? But before that, people just spoke a lot of times what they meant. And when we understand this with the mindset of the Mediterranean and Hebrew culture back then, listen, in works like the Talmud, which was written shortly after this, the rabbis like brutally talk to each other. It doesn't mean they don't like each other, just talking. They're speaking frankly to each other. When he says, I have come to set a man against his father, he doesn't mean you're supposed to hate your father. What he means is you should not have anybody in your life closer than me, than God. And if that means that your father is going to turn against you and persecute you, well, you've got God in your life, okay? We don't have time to go through all of that, but you have to understand, we read it, and it's not just as we read it. There's a lot of context that goes along with it. But for the sake of time, we have to move on to verse 39. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right, to our mindset. What it means is there's a cost to following the Messiah. There is a cost to being a follower of Yeshua. What it means is you're not living for yourself anymore. You're not living for your own dreams. You're not living for your own desires. And the thing is, a lot of times we like to mesh the things of this world with the things of God. It really bugs me when people, this is just me, when people say, well, God's going to give you your dreams and your desires. It's not about you. It's not about self. It's about God. What's going to happen is over time, God's dreams and desires will become yours. And that's beautiful, isn't it? When that happens, when you get tuned in to God. But it's not about your dreams and desires, it's about God's dreams and desires, because we're supposed to live our life and not, you know, be enhanced. Our life's not going to be enhanced with God. We're supposed to surrender our life to God, and then we rise from the ashes basically as a new creation. So many scriptures on that, not enough time for this, but certainly God gives you and I things. This is not one of those things where, well, you've just got to denounce every possession you have. You've got to wear sackcloth and ashes and look, you know, so sad all the time. That's not what this is about. Because God does give us things. He gives us professions that we can enjoy. He gives us hobbies to do. He gives us enjoyable things, ways to relax. You know, if you like going and listening to classical music or going to see a movie, whatever, those are things that are nice. We're not saying you have to give it everything up to be a follower of Yeshua. However, you have to surrender your right to yourself. You have to surrender your own pleasure and your own desires and dreams and tune into God's. To be truly a follower of Yeshua, we've got to give up our opinions of how our life should go. Do you ever think to yourself, well, okay, here's what's going to happen now that I'm a believer. I'm going to do this and this and this to God. How far did you get with that? I didn't get very far. We need to give up our opinions of what we think should happen, even as believers. We need to change our mindset about something. You know, sometimes God, I'm going down the path, right? I'm sure God wants me to do this. And then all of a sudden, God's trying to get my attention. No, I want you to turn. I'm saying, no, you told me this. I'm going to keep going here. But then we forget, it's God telling us to turn. This is a journey with God, following God. We have to lose our life and we have to lose our claim to our lives and give our life to God. Now go to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. Book of Galatians. We've got to give up our claim to our lives and find our lives in Yeshua, in the Lord. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but Messiah who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's so beautifully put, isn't it? He loved me and gave himself up for me. Point number 4, we must lose our life to find God. It's just very clear. It can be scary, though, to lay down our claim to ourselves. Sometimes we like to give God the easy stuff and not allow God to come into the hard stuff. But being a believer means to be very self-reflective. It means to go in front of the spiritual mirror and say, God, I think I'm right about this, but show me. Am I wrong? Am I treating somebody wrong? Am I handling this wrong? Reveal it to me. Bring it to my attention if I'm doing, and maybe you're not. And he'll say, no, you're good. Keep going. And that's cool. But maybe sometimes he'll say, you were wrong. You need to go back to that person. Or you thought this. We have to be tuned in and sensitive, as I said, to the Spirit of God and allow God to change us. Last scripture today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. God wants to make you and I new. Therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The Lord wants to give us his peace that passes all understanding, that sustains us in every season, good or bad, that holds us through any persecution you may face. You and I may never be asked to walk into that fiery furnace. Sometimes it feels like we are, right? You and I may never be asked to go and give up everything and go into ministry. We may never be asked to do that. But what God does ask us to do, we should be sensitive to him. And it really all goes back to God is going to be there for you. You know, we face persecution in many, many forms. And the hardest part of persecution is when we people that we care about and we don't understand why they're persecuting us. We go through it with people that are close to us. We go through it with strangers. But however we go through it, we need to understand that God is with us through every bit of persecution we may go through. And we need to understand that God is fighting the battles for us. So when we properly understand what Scripture talks about persecution, we're not left dumbfounded when it happens and we say, where were you, God? Because rightly knowing the word of truth, will help us and guide us through that persecution that we're going through. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we thank you because your word contains the answers. Sometimes it's not the answers we like to hear, but the answers that we need to hear. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us today, wherever we're at in our lives, those of us here in the room, those of the people watching on the live stream, and even after, as this is recorded and people are coming back to it. Lord, may you speak through this message to your people. May you show us how to rightly handle your word, how to replace that fear with faith, how to allow you in and have us get out of the way to fight the battles. Lord, we are going to face persecution, but you're never going to leave us or forsake us on the battlefield. Not only that, you're going to fight the battles for us. So we thank you, God, and I just pray that you would strengthen people's faith today, that you would guide people today, that you would allow people to continue to surrender to your Spirit and your word. We thank you, and we praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's stand all together today as a community as we close our service with a blessing. And as you go out this week, may you be blessed in the Lord.